taken out of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, part of the 18th and 19th chapter. Last week I left off speaking to you where Paul was at Corinth and where he had a desire to depart, but God appeared unto him and spake unto him that he should remain in that city, for he had much people there, and that God would be with him, and that no one would do him hurt. Therefore we find that Paul remained there a year and 6 months. And then there was a certain man by the name of Gallio. He was deputy over this particular country, Achaia, and the Jews made insurrection against Paul, and they drew him before the judgment seat, before this man, Gallio. This Gallio was a brother to Seneca, the philosopher. His name, Gallio, comes from an adopted father who adopted him and changed his name. And now this Gallio, he would have nothing to do with what the Jews presented to him concerning Paul. They wanted him to make judgment concerning the teachings of Paul, which was contrary to them and to their laws. But Gallio would have nothing to do with these Jews. He drove them away from the judgment seat. He was a very mild and an orderly judge. They have made a wrong conception of this man, Gallio. It has often been said, and a statement is made quite often, that he is Gallio-like. In other words, he cares for none of these things. But this man, Gallio, he was upright in his decision concerning the Jews. These Jews had no right to bring Paul before his judgment seat, and he would not enter into any of their matters concerning their various sects and the questions that they had concerning their laws. And therefore, he paid no attention to them, but drove them from the judgment seat. And therefore, we find that Paul, after this, he leaves Corinth, and he goes on a trip to the various places where he had preached the word. And while he was gone, we find that there came a certain man by the name of Apollos from Alexandria, a city in Egypt. He came to Ephesus. This man, Apollos, was mighty in the scriptures. He was eloquent, and he was a very forceful teacher, an expounder of the word, knowing only the baptism of John. This man, we read of him in 1 Corinthians 1. Paul speaks of this Apollos and himself and of Cephas. This man, being so eloquent and having the gift of expounding the scriptures very clearly and very plainly, and speaking from the heart, speaking what he was living in, these people were much taken up with this man, Apollos. He went from Ephesus unto Corinth. Therefore, in 1 Corinthians 1, we read of this man, Apollos. Paul is writing to the Corinthians concerning the split, the division that took place in that church. These Corinthians, they were all for this man, Apollos. They loved his eloquence and his ability in setting the word of God so clearly before them. And they were attached to him. And we find that certain of them, they wanted to call themselves by the name of Apollos, others by the name of Paul, others by the name of Cephas, and others by the name of Christ. Paul, writing to them, says, "And who is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers whereby you have believed?" In other words, they were only subject to the great God who sent them and who had blessed the teachings, the ministry of both of these men to their immortal souls. And this, what took place in this church in Corinth, made no difference between Apollos and Paul. Paul was not jealous of the talents and of the gifts that Apollos had, but he insisted that Apollos return even to Corinth. But this man Apollos, he would not return while the church was in this state and in this condition, having divisions, revealing that he would not take up any side of the question and be the head of any party. How different were these Christians from the Christians that call themselves in our days? They maintained peace and tried their utmost to keep it that way in the various churches in which they labored. And now Paul, he comes to Ephesus, and he's speaking in the synagogue, and the Jews desired him to tarry there. But he said that he would only be there a while, and he had to go up to the city of Jerusalem. He had to attend a feast there. What that feast was, we know not, whether it was the feast of Pentecost or whether it was another feast that they observed, Scripture does not say. But Paul had all intentions of going up to this place, Jerusalem, to meet the various brothers and to meet the Christians that assembled there. He had been there before, and therefore he desired again to go up there. And after entering into Jerusalem, he came back to Antioch, and we find that he again came back to the city of Ephesus. Now, this city, Ephesus, lay on a certain river by the name of Caistor. Now, this city was one of the most prominent cities in Asia, and from which a name and a fame went out. For here, Paul labored abundantly. When he first came to this city, he found certain disciples, 12 of them by number, and he spake unto them concerning the Holy Ghost. But they had not so much as heard that there was a Holy Ghost. They had only been baptized by the baptism of John, and they knew nothing about the extraordinary gifts that had been given on the day of Pentecost. And when Paul reasoned with them and spake to them, they consented to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And after being baptized, they received the Holy Ghost. Paul laying his hands upon them, they received this special gift which was given to so many of these disciples and apostles in this particular period. For they received extraordinary gifts. They were given the gifts of tongues and the gifts of prophecy. These gifts have long been extinct. They were only given at this time so that the church would be established and that it would be noticeable that God was with these men and had given them these gifts. These people, these 12 disciples, they continued with Paul, and he reasoned with the Jews 3 months long in the synagogue. Now these 12 disciples are similar to so many, even in our time, who have been baptized by the Spirit of God, who have received repentance, and who have been given to return unto God, but have not received the Holy Ghost in that measure that they are looking for. They longed to have the Comforter come to them as it came unto the apostles upon the day of Pentecost. We must also likewise, in a spiritual sense, experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. This Spirit convicts us in the first place of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and opens up the way unto us whereby we may be saved. But for years and years, these souls at times are seeking Jesus Christ and have no revelation of him. And the Spirit not revealing him unto their souls in that measure that they may be able to say, he is mine and I am his. Oh, how many souls are longing for such a day in their own hearts that they may be able to say, I have found him whom my soul loveth. And now Paul, reasoning with the Jews in the synagogue, he ran into opposition as he always did. And the Jews, they did not believe what he taught. And where there was so much trouble in the synagogue, he left the synagogue. And he separated these 12 disciples, and he entered into a school run by a man by the name of Tyrannus. Now, this man was a Christian. He was converted under the ministry of Paul, and he ran a school in this particular city, Ephesus. And he gave consent unto Paul to the use of his school. And here Paul labored for more than 2 years, preaching and teaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. And all Asia heard the word of God. Such a sound went out from the teachings of Paul in this particular city. For God was with Paul. And Paul, he was given much blessing upon the work that he was doing. This city, Ephesus, was founded by a certain woman by the name of Ephesus, an Amazon woman, in the time of David. Then already this city was established. And this city was noted for its idolatry. Paul, in this next chapter, when he's leaving these people, he speaks unto them concerning his labors. When he came into this city, these people, they were thieves, they were drunkards, they were doing such abominable things that it was not even good to speak about those things that they'd done in secret. And Paul, when he came into this city, he labored day and night amongst them. No matter who he met, he spake to them about the gospel and about Jesus Christ. He went from door to door, from old to young, from rich to poor. With many tears in his eyes, he labored amongst these people. And God was with him. God blessed his ministry. A numerous church sprang up in this city. And from this particular city, there went out such a rumor throughout all Asia. And now while Paul not only was a great blessing ministerially to these people, God was with him likewise. For they took handkerchiefs, they took aprons from the body of Paul, and they carried them to people that were sick, that were afflicted, that couldn't come to hear him. And they laid these handkerchiefs and these aprons upon them, and the people that were afflicted, they were cured. They were made well again. Likewise, those that had evil spirits, they were cured from their spirits that they possessed. And a great fame and a great name went out concerning Paul, for God was with him. What a blessing this man was in the midst of this city, Ephesus. And there this city, likewise, worshipped a certain goddess called Diana. They had built an immense temple for this goddess. It was called one of the 7 wonders of the world.
The temple was 425 feet long and 220 feet wide. In the temple there were 170 columns, beautiful pillars, donated by just as many kings as there were pillars. Some of them were beautifully carved, others were beautifully polished. This temple was 200 years in building, and all Asia contributed to the support of this temple and to this goddess. In this city then, there was much idolatry. In the midst of this city, there were many men called silversmiths. And they built little silver shrines of the temple and also of the goddess. And they made a good traffic with these shrines, selling them to many foreigners that came to this particular city. So we see then that most of the city was carried away by idolatry, worshiping this goddess. This goddess, Diana, was supposed to have been some sort of an image of ebony which had fallen down from heaven. Jupiter had let it fall, and this they all believe. But according to one of these philosophers, Pliny by name, he said that a certain man by the name of Caneta, he had made this image, and the people were all deceived. They all thought that this image had fell from heaven, but it was made by the hand of this man, Caneta. And the people all thought this was the true goddess. They all worshipped this goddess. And this goddess was worshipped already under the time of Solomon, under the time of Jeremiah, who was called Mene. This is the name of the same goddess that was worshipped in Ephesus. Diana, the great Diana of the Ephesians, she was called. And now Paul, laboring amongst these people, he was richly blessed by God, but we find that many people were turned away from worshiping this idol. Their hearts were wrought upon. The word of God grew very mightily. And what happened? Many of them came and confessed their deeds and made known what they were. We see in this how that the Spirit of God worked in the hearts of these people. And they came forward and confessed their deeds. They made known their sins, their iniquities unto God. And if they had done anything wrong unto their neighbors, they confessed their sins before them and begged forgiveness for them. Oh, the word of God had taken fast hold upon these people, and they came forward confessing their sins. Has this ever taken place with any of you, my hearers? Has the word of God ever taken fast hold upon you? Has it ever brought you to come forward to confess your sins to God and also to your neighbors whom you probably have wronged in your life? Oh, when God comes with his word and with his spirit, he makes us honest, he makes us upright, he makes us sincere. These people came forward confessing their deeds. And not only do we find that these people came forward, but there were multitudes of people that used curious arts. And they came with all their books, which they used to deceive the people with. These books were books of magic. They were enchantments, and they had various things in these books which taught these people how to deceive others. And they would teach the people that is, they put a certain thing on their arm or on their foot, a certain emblem, they would be kept from evil, and they would be blessed. These people, they followed these things. But now the word of God taking effect in such a manner, these people began to forsake the teachings that they taught other people. They began to see that these things were sinful and were wrong, and they couldn't go on teaching and deceiving people with these books that they were taught out of themselves. So they came forward with all their books, and they piled them all in a heap, and they set fire to them. They burned them. The scripture says the books were worth about 50,000 pieces of silver, about $10,000 in our money. And these people, they didn't try to sell these books. They didn't try to get rid of them to somebody else and let them deceive others, but they brought the books forward and they burned them. The Word of God was the only book that they now wanted to read. And this was the book of books that discovered unto them their sins and their iniquities and their idolatry and the deceit and the deception that they were living under. And they took these books and burned them. All my hearers, if in our day we had to take all the books that are deceiving people, all the books that teach nothing else but error in the religious sense, and if we take all the magazines and all the books of obscene literature which is poisoning the minds of so many of our people, and who gladly buy these books and read them every time they come out. Oh, what an immense pile of books we would have if we would gather all these books together to burn them. Oh, what millions of dollars of books would be burnt. Oh, my hearers, this that these people did is also experienced by every person that is wrought upon by the Spirit of God. There may be some in my midst who likewise used to read magazines, newspapers, and they had some sort of a hobby. They had so many books on that hobby, or they just buried themselves in them books. And that's all that they read, and that's all that they wanted to talk about and hear about. But all one time, God came with His Spirit and with His Word into their hearts. And all the Word of God became precious. All this was the book of books. All they took this book, they went in secret. All this book spake to them about Jesus, about the way of salvation. Oh, that God was a merciful God. Oh, they couldn't read this book enough. Oh, they wanted to spend time after time in reading the precious book of God. And then the books that explained the Word of God. And then the biographies of godly men of old. Oh, how these creatures that are born again and receive a new light, receive also a desire for the explanation of the Word of God. All then true, that took place with them probably, as it did with these Ephesians. Or maybe you threw all your books out, you put them in the ash can and sent them out on the street, or you distributed it to somebody for old newspapers or for paper that was to be used for various purposes. Or it may be that you did as these people did. You didn't even want to give them to anybody. You burned them. And you made a resolution that you never would buy another book. You never would read any books like that anymore. There was only one book that you were interested in, and that was the Word of God and the explanation thereof. And oh, when you view such a person, you find that all the books and magazines are thrown out, and he gets a bookcase. And what does he start to do? He starts to buy good books. Or he starts to gather such books which edify his immortal soul. Have you ever had that, my hearers? What kind of a bookcase you got home? You got a bunch of magazines, bunch of storybooks that ain't even worth reading, lies, fables, based on something that never happened, fiction. You still hold on to them? It's a token that something like this, what happened to the Ephesians, never happened to you. All my hearers, if we were to enter into every one of your homes, my home too, I won't exclude myself. Oh, how many magazines and how many books don't we find around the home? Which, if we had nerve, and which, if we had that, what the